A diagnosis of breast cancer can cause a life-changing ripple effect of impact, affecting those we love the most and those upon whom we lean for comfort and strength in the most challenging of times. My name is Aisling Hurley and I'm the CEO of Breast Cancer Ireland, and you're listening to More Than a Lump, a podcast that talks openly and honestly to a selection of guests about their very personal connection to breast cancer, be it through their career choice, their own first-hand experience of the disease, or through sharing the experience of close family members. My conversations will centre on how breast cancer has informed their perspective on life, love, family, health, their goals, and indeed their aspirations. Although each story is utterly unique, the one common thread that runs through each one is that breast cancer is more than a lump. Emma's story is one of bravery and hope, culminating in the much celebrated birth of her beautiful son, Sam, in late 2020. But I'll let Emma tell you her own story in her own words. Emma, we're delighted to have you here with us today. As a mom of three kids myself, well, adults now, it really brings me so much joy to see someone so young, who I met during treatment, looking so vibrant and happy today. It really is so lovely to have you here, Emma. Bring us back to your life prior to June 2017.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here. I suppose my life prior to June 2017 was pretty average 30-year-old. I mean, I was really happy in my job and still am, thankfully. As you said, I'm a secondary school teacher and I absolutely love that environment and being around the students and everything. I would have been quite social with all my friends. I was very fit and very healthy, probably the healthiest I've ever been, ironically, with knowing now what was to come just mere months later. But yeah, life was great. And as you said, I had no idea of what was going to come 3 months later.
Yeah. Tell us about reaching the big milestones, sharing your journey on Instagram with your followers at the time, 1 year since diagnosis anniversary. Many of our listeners will remember how inspiring and positive you were even then. So tell us why you have found this important, and particularly in relation to issues around fertility.
I suppose the whole Instagram page really came from the fact that I didn't know anybody else my age who was diagnosed with breast cancer. So it was kind of my way of reaching out, trying to make some connections. And I made some fabulous friends through that Instagram page that I'm still in contact with. And also, I suppose the job I was in, it was important for me, you know, for the students that I teach to see me, that I was still doing okay, and kind of the path that I was taking, you know, I was still there for them. But I suppose, yeah, it became very important, and the support that I got from people really gave me a boost on the really low days when, you know, sometimes you think, oh, this is so hard, can I keep going? And someone, a complete stranger would send you a message and then your whole day could just turn around. So it was and still is very special to me. Like I don't actually use the page anymore because, you know, I felt it was like that moment in time, but I never deleted the page. I left it there, and all my videos are still up for, you know, if somebody is starting out, they can kind of see where I started and I suppose where I am now. So it's still just as important today.
And I suppose for listeners, your diagnosis was triple negative breast cancer. And, you know, to explain that, that's a subtype breast cancer that tends to affect younger women.
Yeah.
And with that, unfortunately, research hasn't come as far down the line as a lot of other subtypes. So the age, the treatment is the age old of chemotherapy, surgery and radiation therapy. And with that comes issues in relation to fertility.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did the dreaded thing of I got my diagnosis and I Googled triple negative, which, you know, to anybody listening to this who's been diagnosed with triple negative, do not do that, because a lot of the statistics are very dated and very old, and there's constant research being done and trials being done and, you know, alternate treatments in development. So a lot of that stuff, you know, isn't really as applicable anymore. But yeah, it was quite frightening to see numbers. And then obviously, as you alluded to there, fertility issues. I later discovered that I was BRCA1 positive. I was sent for those tests by the hospital because, as you said, of the subtype that I had, and that test came back as positive. But that obviously had massive implications for my fertility because it meant I had a much higher chance of ovarian cancer as well. And I suppose being in my 30s, you know, your fertility is already kind of dropping year on year. And I wasn't in a relationship at the time. And obviously as well, you know, it's up to you whether you have the surgery, you know, to remove your fallopian tubes and your ovaries. But at the same time, it's not a risk that I was kind of, it was a risk that was constantly in my mind. It was, you know, constantly there that I, you know, I try to just block out. But yeah, it's definitely something that is very hard to deal with on top of the initial cancer diagnosis.
And then, wow, baby then, Sam wow. arrived.
Yeah, I know. It was just incredible. And I met my partner, Keith, 2 years post my diagnosis. And we kind of met, reconnected by chance, I suppose. We had known each other from school days and we kind of lost touch over the years. But then we happened to bump into each other at a work in service day, and just all happened from there. And then, yeah, baby Sam came into our lives on December 2020, like just the absolute sunshine and joy. And I just never thought, like, you know, it was going to be a scenario that would happen for me. And I mean, when I told people I was pregnant, I just could not believe the reaction that I got. I think, like, people were so, you know, everyone kind of came along on the cancer journey with me, like, you know, family, friends, strangers, like, who just sent me messages. And then, like, when people heard that I was pregnant, it was just like, I don't know, I just feel like everybody just shared in the joy with me so much. And it's just been, I don't know, it's just a culmination of, you know, a tough few years. And then he was just my present at the end.
Absolutely. It was fantastic. And I mean, you talk a lot about how your GP was absolutely crucial, yeah, in relation absolutely. To your diagnosis, because, as you say, the only thing you felt was this overwhelming fatigue.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, hand on heart, know that if my GP wasn't so amazing with me, that I could not be, I might not be here right now. And that's a really frightening thought. But the subtype of cancer that I had is so aggressive and can develop so quickly. If that had have gone on, you know, undetected, who knows what stage I could have been at. By the time it was detected, I had one lymph node involved. So thankfully, it could have spread a lot more. But he was so vigilant with me. I think what's so important for me kind of to stress is the importance of great GP patient relationships. So I think that's what made the difference for me. I've been with my doctor, Dr. Abraham, since I was a child, and he just really knows me. So when I was coming in saying that I was really tired, he knew that it wasn't just I'd had a hard week and I was tired. He wants to kind of get to the bottom of, you know, you're young and healthy, you shouldn't really be feeling like this. And just because, out of sheer, you know, thoroughness from him, he was ruling out things from blood tests. You know, he just happened to say, do you check your breasts? And, you know, I'll be the first to hold my hands up and say, no, I did not. I was not in my world that this could happen to somebody like me. And I'm sure, like, lots of people listening are thinking the exact same thing. Only that he, for some reason, and I still don't know why, said, I'm going to just get you an appointment in that breast clinic. And 2 weeks later, that's when everything just kicked off. So it's really just the importance of the relationship is just so amazing for me.
And then was it the mammogram that showed up something, or was it the examination
I had a physical examination, but it wasn't in an area that would have been quite obvious, like, as in if I had to just, you know, lightly check my breast myself, I wouldn't have found it. It was in quite deep. And the doctor was amazing on the day. So he sent me straight away for the triple assessment in Bowmont, which is fantastic. So yeah, I had the mammogram done, obviously, which I had an ultrasound initially. Mm-hmm. And then they said, oh, we're going to send you for mammogram, even though, you know, you're a bit younger than we'd usually do it for. And then there was areas that they wanted to biopsy, a couple of areas they wanted to biopsy. So I suppose at that point I thought, this isn't maybe the best, but I still was quite naive that I thought, oh, I'm sure everything's fine. But it all kind of escalated very quickly from then. Within a week I was diagnosed. So,
and tell us about that day. I mean, I know your mom was with you.
Yeah.
And I've met your mom, she's an amazing woman.
Yeah,
but, like, on hearing those, that word.
Yeah, I mean, it's burned in my memory forever. It's one of those things that I will never forget. I remember everything about that waiting room. I remember, like, exactly what I was wearing. I remember what the lady in front of me was wearing. Like, little things that you think, how is that still in your mind? But everything was, I don't know, it was just so clear to me. We went in, and I've kind of, you know, I've mentioned before that there was a nurse in the room, and then straight away I was kind of on edge that, why is there somebody else here? Like, is there a nurse here to console me? Is the bad news coming? You know, you just kind of, any appointment I'd been to before, there was never, like, a nurse. So Professor Hill, who's incredible, you know, was pointing out the areas on my scan, and you know, my mom just straight up asked him, is this cancer? Like, does she have cancer? And he said, yeah, unfortunately, yes. Like, we weren't really upset at that point. I think we were just still stunned because, you know, as much as we were kind of thinking we're going to be told something, the hearing the word cancer is just so, I don't know, so shocking. I think it's shocking to anyone, any age. You never expect it to be you. And then, yeah, I suppose from that point on, we kind of just listened to what he had to say. We tried to take it all in and we just kind of tried to mentally prepare ourselves for what was about to come.
Mm-hmm. And it's very hard for your mom. I mean, no one wants to see their child go through something, something so hard. And your treatment, what was your treatment plan like?
So about 2 weeks after the initial diagnosis, I went in and had a double mastectomy. At the time, they didn't realise that I was BRCA1, but thankfully we went for the double mastectomy. My surgeon, Mr. Power, had said that when they had done a repeat scan that there was some precancerous cells in my left breast. And he said it was up to me whether, you know, I wanted to go for both, that, you know, if I was his sister, he would, you know, he knows what option he'd go for. But ultimately, it's up to me. I knew going into that appointment already I wanted both removed. Again, completely individual decision for anybody. But I just couldn't live with the fear of thinking, what if? Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, it turned out to be the best decision because the BRCA, I would have gone back for that surgery anyway. So had the surgery and then recovered well from that and then had chemotherapy, which finished just before Christmas. So a lovely gift to finish off the year without all that. And then I had 4 weeks of radiotherapy and then my reconstruction a few months after that.
Wow.
So yeah, a jam-packed year.
Yeah.
Jam-packed year. But I suppose the way I looked at it and the way I would still kind of say to people is I didn't look kind of at the bigger picture of what was happening. I just, every single week, each appointment would just, I think, okay, this is one less appointment that you're going to have. Each week is 1 week closer to the end. So, you know, I feel like if you look at the whole treatment plan, it's so overwhelming to say to someone, okay, so you're going to have this surgery, this chemo, this amount of chemotherapy, this much radiotherapy, this much, you know, your brain would explode.
Yeah. Bite so sizes.
Breaking it down and then celebrate each little kind of achievement that you do, you know.
All the little milestones.
Yeah, all the little milestones, because then they add up to the end, which is wonderful.
Absolutely. So Emma, day by day and week by week, at what point does the severity of what you've been through hit you?
Well, I think for me, I definitely found the aftermath of all of the treatment more difficult than the treatment itself, which I know sounds like crazy to say, because obviously your body has just been battered and taken through such a wild journey. But I suppose in some way, like all of the appointments you had, and, you know, that was kind of a safety net for me, that once you're still being treated and once you're still seeing all the doctors, like, you're okay and anything that comes up will be caught or could be seen. So when you're out of that, like, you get, you know, each week you're seeing less and less people, and each month you're seeing less and less people. I kind of struggled with that. You know, people think once you finish your physical treatment that, you know, you're cancer free, you're better now, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that couldn't be further from the truth. And, you know, from friends that I have who've been through the same thing, I know they feel the exact same way. And, you know, you're trying so hard not to kind of worry about every niggle and every pain and put it out of your head. But, you know, those fears do live on. And I think, you know, it's always something that you just kind of have to try and learn to live with, you know, through various ways. And, you know, myself getting involved with Breast Cancer Ireland has definitely been a massive help for me to, you know, channel all my energy in that way into a positive cause. But, you know, life has also been so wonderful after, and, you know, from terrible situations, like, really incredible things can happen. So yeah, life has been interesting since, definitely different, but better. And I actually wouldn't change the journey I've been on because of what I have now.
Absolutely. Well, you have Keith and you have lovely baby Sam.
I do.
And tell us a little bit about Keith.
So Keith and I actually were in school together. He was in the local boys' school and I was in the local girls' school. And we actually went on a school trip together and we just became friends. And when we got back from the trip, and we were still friends. But over the years, of course, you know, we kind of lost touch. We were in different colleges. He lived abroad. And then didn't obviously give too much thought. I was going through what I was going through and he was in a different country. But yeah, Keith ended up retraining and going back to become a teacher. And one day at an in-service, we bumped into each other in the break room. We, like, there was no rhyme or reason as to why that happened, because we don't teach the same subjects. We weren't, you know, in the same conference room together or anything like that. So fate just brought us back together. And from there, you know, it just kind of developed, and he was very sensitive to my situation. It helped a lot that because we still would have had mutual friends, he would have heard kind of what had happened. So there was never a big kind of drama around, you know, my illness, because, you know, some people can be, you don't know how people are going to take illness. Some people just don't deal well with illness. They don't want to be around illness. They can't cope with somebody being ill. So, you know, being, you know, a woman out, a single woman out in her 30s, you just don't know kind of what you're going to get, or you don't know kind of, oh, am I going to have to go through this ordeal again? Am I going to have to explain all these things? And but I didn't. And he was just incredible. He didn't care about it at all. He, you know, was just comfortable to go at my pace in terms of like what I was comfortable opening up to him about. And yeah, he was just wonderful. And then, as you said, Sam came along, but, you know, to get to that point, you know, we did have to have some really tough conversations. And quite early on in the relationship, I did have to say to him, you know, I have this gene, you know, this means I'm going to have to get a particular type of surgery. And it's probably going to be sooner rather than later, because, you know, as I said, a higher risk of another cancer. So, you know, there is a chance that, you know, a family and children won't be on the cards for us. And I know, like, saying that to somebody, you know, that could make somebody run for the hills, you know, well, you know, that wouldn't interest some people. But he was just, I couldn't have asked for a lovelier response. He just was like, I don't, that doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm in this relationship with you. If we have children, great. If we don't, you know, we can still have a lovely life, just the two of us. You know, we're happy, just the two of us. And I think that's, you know, the point when I knew that, you know, we were going to stay together. And, you know, this, he was just brought into my life at just the perfect time. And like, even talking about it makes me feel really emotional, because, you know, if I said all this, when I say this to him, he just kind of laughs it off. I don't think he fully realizes that, you know, he really just helped turn my life completely around in terms of just like lifted me up when I needed it. And yeah, and then thankfully Sam was our little miracle just before Christmas in 2020. And yeah, I just never thought that this would be the life that I'd get. Just so grateful every single day for it, because I know not everybody gets to have it.
It's a really, really lovely story of hope. You know, it's fantastic. And I suppose you looking at life now, what would you tell your students, your mm-hmm. the girls and guys that you know, about, you know, the importance of understanding good breast health? There you were in your 30s without a care in the world about anything like breast cancer. Yeah. And yet you were diagnosed. What would you tell those younger school kids?
So I'm very vocal in my school with, in terms of my story. You know, pretty much every child in the school knows that I've had breast cancer, that I'm an ambassador for Breast Cancer Ireland. And, you know, the girls would be great at doing little fundraisers and helping raising awareness. And we actually have a breast cancer board in our school now, that has lots of messages and has, you know, the leaflet with the 8 signs and symptoms. And we actually had Olivia in giving a talk to our TYs, which was so important to me to have, you know, as Olivia, such a special friend, and Denise and Georgie and all the girls. And I suppose for the kids to, you know, have that intervention at 15, 16 years of age, I just want it to become a normal part of their lives, that they don't even think twice. They have, you know, once a month in the shower or wherever, they have their check, and then that's just another thing they do. It's just, it's not a big ordeal. It's just something they do. And they, you know, they might tell their sisters, their moms, their aunties, and then it just becomes ingrained, you know, with each generation that comes up, it just becomes part of their life. And then, as you know, early detection is really what saves lives. So the younger we can kind of get the kids checking themselves, the sooner things are picked up. And then, you know, lots of people mightn't have to go through all of that treatment, you know, as mm-hmm. chemotherapy is, you know, way down now for people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mm-hmm. always have to end in chemotherapy. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, it's really important to me, I suppose, as a teacher, especially, that the kids are aware.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose that's one of the key remits within Breast Cancer Ireland. Yeah. While our major one is that we support research and we seek to try and advance the disease into a treatable long-term illness, but also to provide that education and awareness on the importance of good breast health. And, you know, we offer the complimentary program, like you say, to go into the schools, talk to the teachers, talk to TY, talk to companies and community groups, because it's important for women and indeed men to understand what's normal and to understand how to do a proper breast examination and to know that there are 8 signs and symptoms. You know, it is like the podcast, it is more than
and
a lump.
And it really does help because our lovely Jill as well from Breast Cancer Ireland, you know, found her lump from a talk from Adrian, who's one of the coordinators. So it really, like, firsthand experience, like, we know that this works. Mm-hmm. And like, as I said earlier, like, I know that every outcome isn't a happy one. And, you know, we've lost some amazing people and some beautiful friends like our wonderful Orla. Yeah. And, you know, if any of these, you know, outreach programs or any of the research that we're doing, you know, can help one person, like, you know, can help one person to, you know, get that early detection and save their life, then anything that we do is worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We had an interesting feedback from a session we did in a school before Christmas where, and I always call the TY pupils nearly my social ambassadors because they go home with a shower card. They talk to mom, to granny, to aunties or to sisters. And one particular lady contacted the school afterwards and said, only that my daughter came home with that shower card, I would never have known. And I have just had a double mastectomy as a result. I can't thank you enough. So awareness does save lives.
It does. It really does. Like, just the power of, you know, each person telling 2 or 3 people and just passing a message on. It's just, yeah, it's just really, really important.
Well, Emma, thank you so much for being with us today. You are a beacon of hope and light and love. And I know you and Keith are engaged now.
We are.
And about to go down the aisle. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
And thanks a million for coming.
Thanks for having me.
The information in this podcast is based on the personal stories of those we have chatted to. If you are concerned in any way, please contact your GP immediately. Or you can contact us at breastcancerireland.com.